Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Bernie Sanders people demanded complete transparency at every level of the voting after 2016. In 2016, they had the results in like 7 minutes.
But what makes
now they have no results?
There's an app on your leader phone that goes around going, a one, a two.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser.
Alrighty then. Have I mentioned in the 3 days that I'm back how much I enjoy being back and doing this show? And you would say, well, then why did you go to the Super Bowl and not do the show? Well, because I went to the Super Bowl to do something else, and I didn't want to bring the whole show, and that would have caused much too much anxiety for me. But I really am happy being
back.
But
we were available.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I
just, road trip.
And we don't mind flying.
Yeah, no, I get all that. Although, you would not have liked Miami Beach. It's a very little thin strip of land that was overpopulated, and mostly overpopulated with drunken people in various states of undress. And you wouldn't have liked it. You reach an age where you don't like that.
I look better dressed.
Jeannie McManus is here devouring a Bethesda bagel
sandwich. Thank you, Bethesda bagel.
It's Danny. Thank Danny.
With bacon.
She's very happy about that. Tori Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Claude, who has done yeoman work over the last 3 days, is being booted out after today as Nigel runs back to reclaim his job, knowing that we don't want him anymore. But Nigel will be back, and everything is okay.
We'll
with
see.
Him.
I think we should change the locks on the doors just to watch Nigel pounding from the outside.
Yeah. We will certainly at some point get, in the old guy segment, we'll get to our thoughts on the State of the Union and Iowa and all of those things that transpired last night. But we're not going to begin with that because this is nominally a sports show. And we're going to begin with something, I don't want to say cataclysmic, but something volcanic in Major League Baseball. Mookie Betts was a four-time All-Star, world champion, and the MVP of the American League a couple of years ago. Has been traded, as has been expected, as for reasons unknown to me, the Red Sox, one of the richest teams in all of sports, decide they're going to get under the luxury cap, and so they're not really going to compete in the way that you expect the Red Sox to compete, in the way that they have competed before. They trade Mookie Betts to the Los Angeles Dodgers. That starts a sort of a chain reaction with the Dodgers, a small chain reaction. The Dodgers then trade Jock Peterson to the Angels. And before I get into the Mookie Betts thing, let me just say this. I know that the Angels never make the playoffs. And I know that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. And everybody says, well, why can't we see him in September and October? Well, September you can, in October. And because they don't make it. But they're 2, 3, 4, 5 right now is, I think, the best in baseball. Or it's got a shot to be the best in baseball. Yeah. In whatever order you want to have it, and Trout often bats second. You have Trout. You have Albert Pujols. He's not what he was in St. Louis, but he had 25 home runs and 90 RBI last year.
As good once as he ever was.
Yeah, you got Anthony Rendon, and you got Jock Peterson kills the ball. He's lefty. He kills the ball. This gives them righty-lefty stuff in whatever order they want to do it, and they're in a division where the Astros, we think, are going to fall because of everything that's happened with the cheating scandal. And they're in a division with Texas, which isn't very good, and Seattle, which isn't very good. Who else is in that division? Oakland is good. But Oakland's sneaky good, and Oakland doesn't have that kind of hitting. Like, all of a sudden, you look at the Angels, right? You look at the Angels, and you think, oh, that's a contending team in the American League.
Yeah, I think they're sneaking up on everybody.
Well, at least
with a guy spending a lot of money.
Yeah, at least to see how the first 2 or 3 months go and then make a big deal for a pitcher in July.
Yeah. I mean, Jock Peterson can hit it. Okay, he can hit it. And he gets to live in his own house. He just got traded, 20 miles away. Anyway, so let me get to the biggest news. The biggest news is Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers. And not just Mookie Betts, but David Price. David Price, a former Cy Young Award winner. Now, I know a lot of people don't like David Price, and they think he's a dog. But he wasn't a dog in the postseason a couple of years ago. And David Price is reunited with some people from the Tampa Bay organization who are now running the Dodgers when he was at his best. Vanderbilt kid, he's a big time. He was a big-time pitcher. Why did the Red Sox do this? Because they've got so much money locked up into starting pitchers that they just didn't want to spend any more. This is their choice. I mean, most people are saying, and to answer the question, why did they do it? They go, we don't really know because they don't have to do it because they have money. But they've done this. This is what it gives the Dodgers. It gives the Dodgers, in most people's opinion, the second-best player in baseball, right under Mike Trout, Mookie Betts. By the way, it makes, with Trout and Betts out there, and it makes L.A. probably the center of the
baseball.
You
got to stay up late.
Yeah, it makes it the center of the universe in baseball, as it is right now in pro basketball, the center of the universe. Good, because it's Los Angeles. They don't give up all that much. They give up Alex Verdugo, who's a very good everyday outfielder, but they got everyday outfielders. They got, who's the guy in center who's the who was the MVP?
Oh, I'm blanking right now.
I'm thinking the Red Sox guy. Right. No, it's the Red Sox guy is Bettinardi, and it's not him, but it's Cody Bellinger.
Yes.
Cody Bellinger. He's an MVP. They got Betts in right. They got Cody Bellinger, and they got A.J. Pollock. I mean, the Dodgers' problem was, it's an odd thing to say, they actually had too many good everyday players, and they platooned a lot, and then their manager didn't platoon in the playoffs and famously ruined the playoffs a couple of years ago. But the Dodgers are really, really good. And by the way, in the infield with Muncy and Turner, they got guys who hit 35, 40 home runs. The Dodgers are so loaded with Mookie Betts, and if David Price is a third starter, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, if it's not
on,
the Yankees.
On paper.
Right, on paper. And I understand that. So if you're a Nats fan, you look at this and go, oh.
We won last year.
You take a small little arrow in your thigh.
Yep.
You know, you've lost Rendon, which hurts you. You haven't gotten better. You've stayed very good. You haven't gotten better at the moment, unless you get Chris Bryant or something like that in a trade. But you're looking up at the Braves. The Braves are really good. You're looking up at the Braves. And you're looking up at the Dodgers, at least in the National League.
Yeah, we take an arrow in the thigh.
Right.
But look what the Red Sox are taking.
In the chest.
Yeah.
They take a bunch of arrows in the chest because they've given up. The Yankees now, they have given up their division to the Yankees or maybe even to Tampa. They have fallen behind. And not only that, spring training starts, I don't know, 5 o'clock? They don't have a manager. How are they who's the guy who says, okay, get on the bus? Who's the guy who has the clip? They don't have a manager, the Red Sox. So I'm sure in Boston, this is an incredibly painful event, even though it's been predicted for quite some time. At least you trade him out of the league. You trade him to the National League, and maybe that means something. But this is a big deal. With one exception. This is 1 year.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts is going to be a free agent. Now, God knows the Dodgers can pay him. They can pay him when the year is up if they want to pay him. If he works out and they want to pay him and he likes, I don't know where he's from. I don't know anything about Mookie Betts. Is he an East Coast kid? Can we look him up in some way? Just find out where he's from. But you play for the Dodgers. You are playing in a circumstance where people really like baseball. They go to games. And the Dodgers, if you deliver a World Series win, which they haven't had since Kirk Gibson, you deliver a World Series win, that is a really big deal. So, yes, Tori has her hand up.
Question.
I don't want to just keep babbling here.
No, it's good. It's interesting. I know nothing about this.
Oh.
But I already have a conspiracy theory about why the Red Sox will get rid of two players. We won't go there. But you say Dodgers now have the number one, the number two players in the country. Can the dugout handle two
egos? No, LA
egos?
Does. LA does.
LA does. I'm sorry, LA. Yeah. Can the dugout handle two big egos like that?
There was nothing to indicate with the Red Sox that Mookie Betts was problematic in any way. In fact, he was beloved, right? Do you agree with this analysis on anything I've said, or do you want to
I do. I think you're missing one key ingredient, which this comes down to the cheating scandal, and you look at the decade was capped by heartbreak for Dodgers,
two
for
World
the
Series
entire
in a row,
organization.
Losing to two cheaters.
To two cheaters, and this is sort of a coda to that as to what it might look like for the next decade. If you're Mookie Betts, you're coming from two of the best organizations in baseball as to what the fans are willing to give you and what they sort of expect from you, but how they are hand in hand with you. So I fully expect if they go out and have a good season, they'll give you fair market value.
$400 million.
And that's all you want. You talk about what this means to be a Nats fan. I can't imagine what it's like to be coming out of the East, which might be the most, I would say, competitive division in baseball, but the big loser here has to be the Braves. They win the division 2 years in a row, don't have any series wins to show for it, and the path to the NLCS and beyond is
harder,
so much harder because
the Dodgers
in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
But to me, this is that weird, it's this weird final, let's just move past this and hopefully this is our bad baseball saying to the Dodgers, and they could go on a tear.
The NL East has 4 good teams. But the Dodgers appear to be a great team. The Dodgers' odds of winning the World Series went dramatically down. I mean, down being good. They went from like 5-1 to, you know, to 3-1 or 2-1. I mean, this is a big deal in baseball. And I understand that we've been away from baseball for a while and it doesn't really come back until the season won't start until April.
Yeah, but pitchers show up next week.
A big deal. And
Mookie's from Tennessee.
Yeah, Nashville.
Hmm.
Nashville. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then there's no particular allegiance east or west or anything like that. So, okay. And maybe he'll want to, he's a really great player. He's a great player. So.
But you mentioned Chris Bryant. He ends
yeah,
up,
he's available.
He loses his case.
2 years.
Case.
Get him for
so
2 years.
That means it's maybe more likely that you might see the Braves, Phillies, or Nats try and push a deal.
Now, Wilbon's position is, Cubs, we don't have to do anything for a year. We have him for 2 years, so we don't have to do anything. We can do the whole year with Chris Bryant and then trade him after that. And I said, well, you had diminishing returns. I mean, the most important thing in baseball when you acquire somebody is for how long. For how long do you have control of him? Mookie Betts is only 1 year. Mookie Betts may decide, you know what? I'm angry at Boston. I'm going to go play for the Yankees. I don't no idea what he's going to do. In other trade news, the NBA, and Tim Bontemps is going to be on later in the show, and I'll just talk about that later.
Wouldn't you love to have a name like Bontemps?
Yeah. Jimmy Goodtimes is what everybody calls him. Jimmy Goodtimes. The NBA, there's a trade. There's 12 people on the move, 10 of whom nobody's ever heard of, and they don't matter even slightly. Clint Capella, who was a pretty good center for the Rockets, has gone to the Hawks, where he will just, you know, die of 1,000 cuts. Because the Hawks stink. They're a terrible team. And he's going to never not make the playoffs for a couple of years. And Robert Covington, who now Wilbon, I know Wilbon will announce today at 5 o'clock that Robert Covington is the most important player in all of basketball, which he once said of Kendrick Perkins, who nobody knows who he is, because Robert Covington goes to Houston. Houston is doing something pretty interesting, and Mike supports this. Houston is getting rid of big people. Houston is going to put five guys on the floor who are between 6'3 and 6'7. Mike went on and on and on about wings and how you need wings, which led me to say yesterday, you couldn't even get this many wings at Popeyes, which the crew laughed at out loud, which is a real big deal. When you get a good reaction from the crew, it's a really big deal. But Houston is going to go small and fast and probably shoot nothing but threes. I mean, they're going to probably take 50 to 60 threes a game. Which we have not seen before, and we'll see if this works, because they've got Westbrook and they've got Harden. They got rid of a big man who didn't really slow them down, but they added in Covington, somebody a little bit faster. And then, you know, other teams got involved marginally. Minnesota got draft choices, which they can trade, and Denver got involved. I mean, it was presented on SportsCenter like this was, you know, that somebody was, I don't know, trading LeBron.
Well, and it's wasn't a quite slow that. Week.
Yeah, it's... Oh, you think this week is slow? Wait till All-Star week. My God, when there's no games played, because Adam Silver said, would you like to have, I don't know, a month off so you guys could go to Europe? Would you like that? I'm happy to give that to you. Adam Silver, if I was an owner in the league, you'd really have to twist my arm to get me to believe that Adam Silver was helping me. He is total player's guy. Total player's guy. But in return for that, of course, he's gotten the players to not act in such a way that there's no controversy. It's not the NFL.
That's right.
The NBA's not, you know, so it's been different. Anyway, that's the beginning of the show. I just ranted because that's Mookie Betts is a really great player.
You know who's hot about this is not Nigel, I'm sure. That he's
a
big
he's a Red Sox fan. Yeah. Yeah, that's why he may not come in tomorrow.
Do we have time for one more question?
Sure.
Because, again, I just immediately go to conspiracy theory. So they're getting rid of some of their best people. Does this have anything to do with troubles related to the cheating scandal and the investigation?
Well, there's been no indication that any pitchers are involved in those things, except to be maybe they're not even the recipients of the news. And David Price is a pitcher. David Price is just a real big contract, and nobody really liked him. I mean, in Mookie's case, the Red Sox didn't want to sign. They wouldn't give him what he wanted. It's Bryce Harper.
He came up with an unimaginable number.
$400 million.
And the whole point was, I want to go to free agency because it's better for the players' union. And
is he a Boris guy, too?
I guess
everybody's a Boris guy. Yeah. So, I don't think there's anything to that. It does look, though, to the outside of that point. It does look like the Red Sox are turtling.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody to bother them, and so they're just going to eat this year and not be a great team. But that affects the balance of power in what is the most celebrated division because of the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yankees are the happiest people in the world.
They're cruising in 95.
Yeah, they didn't trade Betts into the league where he could be them. They traded him to the other place. It's like, what do you take solace in if you're a Nats fan? That Rendon left the league.
Right.
That you don't have to see him all the time. So, all right. Take a break. When we come back, Tim Bontemps will join us. I think he's been on the show before, but he says he hasn't. What do I know? I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Calm ad, Calm, C-A-L-M, right? And it says, please use a sample intro below, or we encourage you to ad-lib based on your experience with Calm. People that know me know that I've had very little experience with Calm. I've had a lot of experience with anxiety, a lot of experience with anger, and a lot of experience with talismans and amulets, but not that much with Calm. So I'll just read their copy. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that is mental fitness. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, and they have teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, and this is allegedly a direct quote, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind, unquote. Which I think was probably said to him, LeBron, how's this if we write this? And he goes, yeah, that's good. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, and I know that's odds, but we'll say it a couple of times, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes that LeBron loves, like rain on leaves and so much more, like sleep stories, kids, and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners, and by our listeners, I mean listeners to this high-quality podcast, can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at Calm, calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. One more time, calm.com/sports40.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Circle Around the Sky. It is by an artist who goes by the name Kuchari. And his friend Jack in Southgate, Kentucky, said this should go perfectly with these new Calm reads. Between this song, LeBron's ocean wave sounds, and some luck, we may be able to get Nigel's rage downgraded from blind to apoplectic. Kuchari is the stage name for Keegan Cruzy. At 6'7", Keegan is a sneaky tall Northern Kentuckian in that Valentine's Day sort of sneaky, who, continuing with the LeBron parallels, has taken his talents to L.A. to grow his hair out and make a real run at it. The album that this comes from, Glad to Belong, dropped on January 17th. It's available all over. This, again, is called Circle Around the Sky. And everybody who sits here is continually amazed. Continually
depth
amazed.
Depth and breadth of the talent. Yeah, incredible.
Absolutely
this
great.
This is very calming.
Yeah. Tim Bontemps joins us now. I knew his work when he was at the Washington Post. He now works for ESPN. I'd never met him. I ran into him last week in Miami at a Miami Heat game, and we got to talking, and I believe, and I guess I'm wrong, but I thought you'd been on this show, and you said you'd never been on this show, right? You'd never been on.
That is correct, but quite happy to be on today.
Yeah, but we've got to go back into this, because like, I thought you were on this show, and I don't understand.
But, Tony, you don't remember seeing Billy Crystal at the Kennedy Center.
No, I don't.
So,
I don't.
Could be you're confused.
But Tim said that he listens to the show. Wasn't it odd that we met in Miami? Like, I felt that was odd. It made me very happy, but it was an odd thing, right?
I mean, I enjoyed it quite a bit, because I've known Mike for a while. I mean, I've listened to the show for a long time.
Yeah.
I've watched Pete Jaff for a long time. But, when I saw you and Mike and Sarah, I knew I was in for an entertaining half an hour or so, which is exactly what it turned into. Got to watch Mike wander around the arena and make us all stop 100 times. And
more of a saunter.
Got to catch up with you and Kelleher. It was great. Yeah, saunter. Definitely not running.
So what was interesting about that, apparently, so we get there, and Wilbon has insisted that I go to this game, but he told me I don't have to stay for the whole game. I didn't stay for any of the game. But I left early. But I go to this game, and Wilbon leads us into what turns out to be a press conference by Eric Spoelstra, who is, at this point, other than Greg Popovich, and maybe the guy at Dallas, Rick Carlisle, but Spoelstra is like the longest guy in the same team coaching in the NBA. And I'd never met him. And I didn't meet him here either. Although he did, apparently, well, it has been reported to me that when Wilbon and I walked in, he sort of looked up and wondered what was going on. Why were these people here? In any case, he's giving a press conference. He's, I guess, a little bit taller and thinner than I thought, and very attractively dismissive of questions. Like, you ask him a question, and he basically looks at you. I mean, this didn't happen to me. He says, yeah, that's how we do it around here. Yeah, that's what we do. So he's sort of like a Greg Popovich in training to, like, you know, but he seems a little bit nicer because at least there's a smile at the end of it. Anyway, there are a bunch of seats, and I go to sit down. I didn't want to sit in a seat. I didn't want to call attention to myself in any way. So I sat down on the riser where the cameras were filming the press conference. And apparently by doing that, I banged
nice.
The riser and the
way
everything,
to go, pro.
Everything went out of focus. And Kelleher later told me, people were going, what is this jerk doing?
So who's the intern?
I thought that was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny anyway. Anyway,
well, I was in the press conference. I didn't notice, so it couldn't have been that bad.
So it made me happy. So what? Now, you're working for ESPN. Are you covering the entire NBA, or are you covering a section of the NBA?
A little bit of both. So my job is to cover the league with a focus on the Eastern Conference and kind of specifically the Northeast. So
right.
yesterday I was in Toronto with your pal Nick Nurse. He said he wants to be on the podcast when
he watches he PTI. I know that. And by the way, Nick Nurse, fan. Who nobody has heard of and nobody knows who he is, and if he walked down the street, you wouldn't know him. He's coached 1 year. He's got one championship. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good winning percentage, one
yeah.
for one.
Yeah,
we'll,
yeah.
We'll see if we can go for two. But yeah, so I cover I cover Toronto a lot. I live in Boston. I'm around them and the Sixers a lot. And then I also write about the whole league. But mostly I'm kind of focused on the Eastern Conference, and specifically, you know, New York and these other Northeast teams.
So this is a writing job more than a television job?
Correct.
And would you wish it were a television job instead of a writing job? I think that's a fair question.
No, not really. Okay. I like doing TV, but I like to write still. My hands still work the keyboard, at least for now. So
is this
that'll last for a while.
In the old days when, you know, and Jeannie is here and understands this, in the old days, even if you were a national reporter, your responsibilities were local. Most people, almost everybody who was a beat writer, covered locally as newspapers cared about their local audience, which they don't anymore, obviously. So I'm wondering, the life that you have, is this a lonely life? Because it's sort of a solitary job.
Yes and no, I guess. I mean, I travel a lot, so in that sense, I'm off in places by myself. But, I mean, I know everybody around the league, and, you know, it's one of those things where I'm kind of going to the same places a bunch, so
yeah.
I know all the people in them all. So it's kind of like, I mean, in this job, I'm kind of like a pseudo beat writer for four or five teams, I would say. It's probably the best way to describe it. So, I'm not with one team all the time, but I'm with four or five teams all the time.
Well, let's get to, I think, the most important question for listeners of this show. How are the hotel accommodations when you go from city to city? Like, where do you stay?
I mean, I'm a loyal Marriott member, so wherever I go to the Marriotts, and they're good. I mean, I'm not going to the Four Seasons like the teams are.
The mistake, but... it's a total mistake on your part.
But yeah. they're just fine. I mean, the nice thing about traveling a lot is you get treated like an important person. So I get upgraded on flights a lot, and I get upgraded in hotels a lot. So from that standpoint, it's pretty good.
Are you getting your suite? Like Monday Night Football, we used to get suites. It was really good. You get a suite or you just get a regular room?
I'm also not quite on the important person of the ESPN plan where they're taking care of me to the level they did for you as Monday Night Football host or PCI host. But I'm doing...
Well, don't get carried away. I haven't told you my Miami Beach hotel story yet. That was not great. All right, let me get to some specifics. And considering you cover the East, I do have a bunch of questions. I don't want to make too much of Clint Capella going to the Hawks, because the Hawks stink and it doesn't really matter. And we will ask you down the road if there are big names who will travel before the end of the trade deadline on Thursday. But when, and I hope your answer is soon, when will the 76ers fire Brett Brown?
I don't know. This might disappoint you, but I don't know if the Sixers have a Brett Brown problem in this situation.
they are one of the strangest teams I've ever been around. You go back to Christmas Day, they play the Bucks, who I believe are 506 this year.
Yeah, they were really good.
Calling everyone.
Yeah.
And they beat them by 30.
Yeah.
Right? Blew them out. I was in Philly last week. They played the Lakers, the best team in the West. They beat them by 30. Blow them out. Right? Then they go to Atlanta on Thursday and lose to a Hawks team.
Terrible team.
That had, before Clint Capella, had basically you and me playing center.
Yeah.
And playing against a team with a bunch of enormous people and just ran them off the court. They get blown out by the Celtics on Saturday. They get destroyed by their old friend Jimmy Butler in the Heat.
31 points. 31 points they lose by. 31. And they, it doesn't look like the construct of that team with Simmons, because Simmons doesn't shoot from more than 5 feet out and gets in Embiid's way. It doesn't look like that works. And by the way, Embiid was the mouthiest guy who's never won anything. Embiid takes shot after shot at Simmons publicly. How does that work?
I mean, it's a truly interesting situation. And I thought, I was listening to the show, I believe yesterday on my flight home, and DA, I thought, summed it up pretty well. They don't dislike each other. I wouldn't say it's like Shaq and Kobe in the sense that they're like feuding.
Right.
But the mix there overall, from like a basketball standpoint, just doesn't work. Like, I really liked the Al Horford signing when they made it, because last year they lost in the playoffs because whenever Joel Embiid was not on the court, they lost. They got annihilated in those minutes. Like in Game 7 against the Raptors, they got outscored by 12 points in the 3 minutes Joel didn't play, and they lost by two. So, like, if they just had, like, a decent backup, they would have won that game and probably would have won the title the way the playoffs shook out. But, so from that standpoint, I liked the move, and I thought Horford and Embiid would fit together. But their roster, but their offense, when those guys are on the court, is just a mess. They have nobody who could shoot. They have Horford just standing outside as like a glorified Kyle Korver, making $25 million a year. That's not really working. And so you just have to look at the team. And at this point, I don't think they can fire Brett Brown right now. I don't think they can make a big trade right now. I think they kind of have to just go through the season and see if the highs that they've gotten to can show up in the playoffs when they care every day and try every game, which they don't in the regular season, which drives everyone insane. And then if that doesn't work, then maybe readjust then. But people like to kill Brett Brown for this. I'm not sure what Brett Brown is supposed to do.
It's not. Yeah. I'm not even suggesting, Tim, that they fire him for cause. I'm suggesting they fire him in a panic move because they are spiraling down, and maybe just anybody else can take them out of that spiral. Honestly, that's how I feel, that they don't have anything else to do.
I'm just not sure. You might not be wrong. I'm also just not sure who they would hire. Like, last year they had Monty Williams sitting next to Brett Brown.
Well, he's coaching now. Yeah, he's coaching.
Now he's coaching somewhere else, and they don't have a coach with any head coaching experience on their bench.
Right.
Ime Udoka is with the Spurs. He's got, people think he'll be a head coach, but I think it'd be a pretty big ask to ask somebody who never coached a team to walk into this mess and take over 6 weeks before the playoffs.
Is there, because the trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon, and a lot of times with trade deadlines, nothing really happens. The big trade, obviously, is in baseball. It's not even in basketball. But
right.
Is there somebody you think will be moved and some team whose chances to win the title will be greatly improved?
I mean, honestly, I'm not. I mean, I know you poo-pooed the Clint Capella trade, and I understand why.
Well, it's because he went to Atlanta. You know, and so what?
Well, no. I know. I mean, I thought that trade was a disaster for Houston, among other teams. But I don't know if there'll be a better player than Capella traded anywhere.
Right.
You know, this deadline. You know, you mentioned the Mookie Betts trade. I'll be stunned if there's a trade like the Mookie Betts trade.
Right.
In basketball. And The problem for the NBA this year in terms of having action at the deadline is there's too many teams that think they can do something this year. There's 25 teams or so that have some kind of chance, even if it's not really a real chance, of making the playoffs. And all these teams that are good, whether it's Philly or Boston or Miami or the Lakers, they either don't have the assets to get a player or they don't have the contracts that they want to trade to get a player. They don't have. You kind of need to have both. They either have one or the other, right? The Lakers only have Kyle Kuzma. He makes $1 million. They can't trade him for anything. The Celtics and Sixers want to trade guys. They have picks to trade. They don't really have salary to trade for anything. So everybody's kind of
so odd, isn't it?
Around.
It's so odd what sports has become, that you have to have matching salaries in order to make trades. It's even if you want somebody like Kuzma is would be very valuable, but what you get, you it doesn't do you any good, right? It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't help
Absolutely.
You monetarily in any way. So odd.
Absolutely.
It's so odd. Let me get to something else.
Sure.
Bradley Beal, when he didn't make the All-Star team, said he was being disrespected. And fine. I can live with that. But then Carl Anthony Towns, who is a dog. Carl Anthony Towns said he was being disrespected, and he felt bad for the league that the best players weren't going to be in the All-Star game. I would point out to you, the last time he appeared in a game in which his team won was the day before Thanksgiving. Well, what is he talking about, Tim?
That's a great question. I said that to our pal Brian Windhorst on his podcast the other day, and
yeah.
his head about fell off because he had a story about he was working on a story about the Wolves back when they were good, and they haven't been good ever since, and so he's been frustrated by that. But look, Carl Towns probably should focus, to your point, on winning a basketball game or two. You know, the people talk about him as one of the 10 best players of the league or 15 best players in the league, and there's no question he's a very talented player. But at this point, it's starting to look like he's the same as Kyrie Irving, a really talented player who, if he's on his own team by himself, can't really generate any winning at all. The one time he won anything in his career was when Jimmy Butler was on his team. And say what you want about Jimmy Butler, but he went there. That franchise won 50 games for the first time since Kevin Garnett was there in 2004. And then the next year he gets traded. They go right back to winning 25 games again.
And Jimmy Butler hated him personally. Hated him.
Hated him.
Yeah.
Hated him. Couldn't stand him. The whole situation there was a mess. And, you know, all the things that Butler said about him and Andrew Wiggins, like when he went into practice and beat them with the third stringers, and they went and talked to Rachel about how he beat them all with the third stringers, it's kind of hard to argue with them when you look back on it, given what's happened since he left.
Yeah.
Because that team has certainly not won anything other than when Jimmy Butler is there in two decades.
One question I'll get you out of here on this. Is there anything to be read into the fact that the Knicks got rid of Steve Mills? Is that just, you know, that doesn't really mean much? Or does it mean something?
Oh, it definitely means something. Now, in typical Knicks fashion, they announced that Steve Mills is leaving and then say he's going to be joining the board of some MSG-related company. So he isn't really going anywhere. Chances are he'll be back running the team again in 2025 with the way James Dolan seems to operate. But it definitely means something. I mean, people in New York, as you know better than anybody, Tony, have been clamoring for the Knicks to go out and hire a basketball executive for a long time to replace Steve Mills running the team. And now James Dolan has a chance to do it. The truly remarkable thing about the way Dolan has run the Knicks over the past two decades is he bought the Knicks and the Rangers in 1999. He goes and hires Glenn Sather, arguably the most decorated hockey executive of all time, to run the hockey team, and then lets Glenn Sather run the hockey team sort of without interference for two decades, right? Just lets him do his job, runs the team. I think the Rangers have been 10th in winning percentage since 2000. They made a cup finals, made a bunch of conference finals, you know, didn't win a cup, but like we're about as good as we could be in hockey without winning a cup. The Knicks, he just has a series of bozos run the team, from Isaiah Thomas to Steve Mills multiple times. You had Phil Jackson come in. The one thing he's never done is go hire a basketball executive with a real pedigree to run the team and let them run the team. If he did that, I think the Knicks would probably be pretty good, even if he meddled a little bit.
You could just plug in the word Redskins and plug in Dan Snyder, and it is exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
It really is.
1,000%.
It's the same thing.
1,000% the same thing. It's crazy.
Thank you, Tim.
I will see if he gets to do it.
All right, and thank you. Now you've been on. Now
twice.
I know I'm right.
We'll record
now
this
right. All right, we'll get you soon. Thank you, Tim.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony. Talk
Tim Bontemps. Timmy Good Times, as the other writers call him. Bon Temp. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will have news. Michael will do the news, yes?
If you'll have me.
Yeah, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new ad for us. It is a company called Vincero or Vincero, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It's V-I-N-C-E-R-O. If this were an Italian company, you would automatically say Vincero.
Vincero.
So I don't really know. And the copy goes like this. This week we are partnering with Vincero. I'm going to say Vincero.
Yeah.
Vincero watches, and we could not be more excited. Finding a watch that's stylish, bold, and built to last can cost a pretty penny. Vincero watches is changing that. They believe you deserve to look good no matter your budget. Vincero creates exceptionally crafted watches, and they do it without breaking the bank. Regardless of whatever situation I am in, whether at work or outside of work, I do my best to always wear a watch. Why? Because every guy needs a watch. I am old enough that I do that. I don't look at my phone for the time. I look at a watch. It's functional for me. For some people, it's simply decorative, but it is both decorative and functional for me, and I do wear watches a lot. The guys over on their team sent us some watches. Let me tell you, they are stunning. Michael picked out a beautiful watch for me, which is, it has a dark face. So to me, it's a more dressy watch, and you picked out one for yourself.
I did. Mine has a blue face. I tried to keep the doodads away from you, yeah, just because it would be hard for you to see.
I don't like the doodads. Like, I don't care about the water pressure, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I
just doodads, want... by doodads, it gives you the date.
Yeah, I don't need the date. I can look at my phone for the date. I rarely, no one ever asks me the date.
So you'll look at your
watch? People say to you, what time is it? They don't say, what day is it? They say, what time
is it? Well, sometimes you ask us what day it is.
Right, because I don't know. From dress watches to action watches, Vincero has a timepiece for every style, occasion, and price point. There's a reason they have over 20,000 five-star reviews, because their modern watches will make you look good and feel good. They're offering you, as a listener to this exclusive show, an exclusive 15% discount off your entire order, and they're going to cover all shipping costs if you use the code TONY. This deal is really too good to pass up. The watches are beautiful.
They're very nice looking.
Yeah. I mean, Michael's is
very classy.
Mine is really nice. Get the year started the right way. Go to Vincero, V-I-N-C-E-R-O. VincerOwatches.com. Use the discount code TONY for a discount at checkout. Do not pay full price on these beautiful timepieces. Use the code TONY. Don't be stupid. VinceroWatches.com.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Mama Said. And it's not the Mama Said of
Cheryl.
Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. I'm just going to read this for you from Rick Franzosa. I've been a loyal little from some time back to the ESPN days. Was overjoyed when you started the podcast. Back in 2001, twin brothers Jerry and Larry McFeeters and I started the Howard House Band, playing cover tunes from Buddy Holly to the Eagles in the Cincinnati area. While our gigs are now limited to retirement communities a couple of times a year, we do enjoy making music. We've been at it so long, we're thinking of changing the band name to Muscle Memory. The attached song Mama Said is the only original we play, penned by Larry. That's me thumping the bass, Larry playing lead on his old Gibson ES-335, Jerry playing rhythm guitar. We'd really appreciate it if you could play this authentic old guy music.
I like it.
I like this a lot.
Everybody
yeah.
likes this. This is good. And again, it's called the Howard House Band, sent to us by Rick Franzosa. Michael, if people want to send us original music, all of which we like and which can be heard in its entirety at the end of the podcast, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And what are we selling? Are we doing a Johnny O deal?
Yeah, so we still have the code TK Hammer.
TK Hammer.
Hammer is now 7 months old, almost 7 months, and he is
he's
moving out of his puking phase, not fully, but he's ready
fantastic.
To go work for the family.
it's about time.
It's hard to work when you're puking all the time.
We've been carrying this kid for quite some time.
Well, about 7 months.
Yeah, okay. So you have to
maybe longer. Yeah, in the surprise of all surprises, we're going to start with the local hockey team.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, some puck talk.
Yeah, because you went to the game, right?
I did. I may indeed be wearing the same clothes I had on last night.
Okay.
That third period got
okay.
How old is Ovechkin right now? Old enough to show up in the third. With the Caps trailing by one late, Ovechkin decides to, I don't know, put up three goals. I think they call it a hat trick. Is that the correct term?
In about 4.5 minutes.
4.5 minutes.
What was that like in person?
Spectacular.
Did everybody throw stuff on
the
ice?
I was telling Gene, the game, you know, it's a Tuesday night. How exciting. And it's a couple periods. I'm like, okay, whatever. We had good friends with us. It was fun. And then he just lights up. And you can see it. You can see his body language change. He goes, no, this isn't how this was going to end. And he just electrifies the place. And you could even see players from the other team, players from Caps, just look at him going, this is something special.
So
everybody threw hats. I threw one of my
not
Nats hats.
Hat.
Not a good hat. No, I never take good ones.
No,
there.
No.
And it took about three
hat.
pitches to get it over the glass.
So I was watching the early, or actually it's the late SportsCenter last night out of L.A., and Barry Melrose was on, and he said, I never thought I would say this. I never thought I would say it. He can catch Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Like Melrose believes. He says, look, the guy never gets hurt. He's so powerful. He can play 6-7 more years. There's no reason he can't if he wants to. And he can catch Gretzky. Gretzky, that was the unthinkable one. And Gretzky was so far ahead of everybody else. Almost 900 goals, I think. And
and his teammates want to help him. They want to help him do well because they so admire him. It's great.
And with now he's only 2 goals shy of becoming the 8th player to get to 700. So still a
long way to go. I'm sure that they have a big production planned when he gets that. I'm sure they do.
Somebody did an interesting story recently saying it's becoming a challenge for the kids. He's passed so many great landmark occasions and scoring and that they have to keep coming up with ceremonies. But the 700 is a big one.
Yeah. So
you already got to our Knicks news with Timmy Goodtimes. Yeah. So how about we go to college football?
Sure.
Mark D'Antonio, 63, out at Michigan State after 13 years, claims this has nothing to do with the ongoing lawsuits about some NCAA violations. What do you think?
I think there's shoes to be dropped here. The guy's record is great. Yeah. He's in the best football conference. He's 114-57. It's just a tremendous record. I know he wasn't good this year, but he's won the Big Ten 3 times, which means to win the Big Ten, you got to beat Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. There's no way around it. It's a fabulous record, and he says he's going to go to work still in the athletic department on some level, and it has nothing to do with this lawsuit that he says is completely unfounded. But you just don't walk. You just don't walk. I don't.
Isn't Michigan State still deeply troubled, kind of
Larry
across
Nassar?
The board?
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know that he had any particular connection with Larry Nassar.
Something with the athletic department crept into the football program, but not indictable.
Tom Izzo didn't walk. I mean, Tom Izzo still seems heroic in Michigan State and was yelling at people who were going to the internet to make fun of his players. And I let me just say, I hope there's nothing more.
Right.
But I will sit here and say, I'm not going to be surprised if something else comes out. Yeah. Not in this case, because he's too good.
Agreed. And when you get to early February and you say this is the time of year where you normally reset and examine your team, what it looks like going forward, and you decide this is when it makes sense to walk away, that might have held more water a couple weeks ago.
I'm not buying this. What else?
Did you watch college basketball last night, Tuesday night?
I watched a little bit of Maryland, a little bit of Duke. Not much. Yeah,
all right, well.
I watched John Wick 3.
Yeah, we'll get to John Wick 3.
So odd.
You wanted the scores. Apparently, that's what we do. So, UMD holds on. Number 9 UMD beats
They're
Rutgers,
good.
56-51.
They can, you know what? Yeah. They can win the national championship.
Get out. It,
Maryland?
Well, there's nobody out there where you say they can't beat
them.
Well,
that's true.
There's no great team. I'm not saying they're a great team or, well, they're good enough to. No, I'm saying it could fall to them. They have a repetitive pattern in games. They fall behind, much like the Kansas City Chiefs, and then they win late. And they do it all the time. They could actually win. And it's not because they're great. It's because there's no great team.
Well, then imagine if this team came to play in March and maybe they had another matchup with Duke, number 7, beating BC 63-55.
Missing their first 33s or something like that.
They were down 6 for the first couple minutes. This was right before bedtime. So imagine me. I grow up in the DMV. I'm not a huge Maryland fan, but I'm of a certain age where I love Gary and I love those early 2000 teams. And as soon as you mentioned Maryland could win, I'm thinking that ACC tournament when they have the lead going to the final couple minutes. And Gary will still take you second through second as he sees that loss happening. So we're Walker, time to go to bed, and Aunt Kate has taught him a phrase, go Duke. He's walking upstairs, he goes, Mama like Duke, and I'm going, this is nothing I ever expected to hear in my own house. And he gets into the bathtub, plays with his new boats. I want to go to Duke. Like, no.
She's encoding him.
There's feelings that have been, I don't know, shoved down for 20 years that are coming out now. One more score for you. You wanted to hear about Penn State. Number 22
well,
beats Michigan State, 75-70.
Penn State's sneaky good. That You know what? That conference, that's really good. They could have 8-9 teams in the tournament.
Yeah, it feels like you're not really going to know what's going on with college basketball until we get to conference tournaments and you see teams beginning to position themselves for the actual big tournament. All right, you want to hear about Macy's?
Yes, I saw this last night on the news. Macy's is closing 20% of their stores, 125 stores. Macy's is the number one retailer in the country. They're closing 125 stores. They're getting out of the big malls because You know, because online shopping has become such a big deal that having these big stores doesn't work, except for old people like me who like to go to big stores and touch the merchandise. I don't like to order clothing that I'm not touching. I want to feel it. I want to try it on and stuff like that. Macy's, this is 20% of everything, and they're going to go small. We've had this discussion about Kodak, and we've had it about Sears, and, you know, and all of these things that Gene and I grew up with that no longer exist. I would have thought that Macy's was utterly impregnable. I would have thought that you know, they were making money all the time.
Not me. I mean, I haven't been in a clothing store in 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Only online?
If everything appears to be too big on me, it's because it's too big on me because I buy things that are too big and then I just keep them.
That's easier.
It's much easier. So I don't want to buy anything that's too small because, you know, that's... So I go the other way.
So what about if you have an important event, let's say on a local college campus...
Like beginning of April.
Something where you might be able to get a free ride to it. And it's a nice event, and you'd want to wear a dress to it. You'd want a new dress to it.
Well, for example,
would you order a dress online?
Yes, for Michael Kornheiser's wedding.
Right.
I ordered a dress online. I wore that dress to Michael's wedding.
And was it too big? Did it fit good?
No, it fit perfectly.
Well, here's something you've probably never heard of. There's a brand called Rent the Runway where they'll send you three sizes, and they say, we know in a particular label you might be up or down a size.
Right.
So here's three that covers
men's,
it.
Men's sizes, Calvin Klein overestimates, and Brooks Brothers gives you a two
in
size.
In a Calvin, I'm a two.
You know, yeah. So, yeah.
See, I find, you mentioned those other iconic brands like Kodak that went down, and to me this is more about an American way of life, because it was going to the mall. And I mean, the numbers that they put in this piece is 1 in 4 U.S. malls will be closed by 2022.
What are they going to do with all that space?
Exactly. Gene and I predate malls.
We
predate
we
malls.
We do.
And then when malls came around, we said, whoa, what's this? What is this? Now malls are gone.
It was like, oh, Brave New World, Whitefoot Mall.
Wow, you can eat at a mall? The concept, Gene and I, we went to stores.
We did.
Went to stores.
And
you
they
didn't
weren't
eat
chain,
in the store.
They weren't chain stores
yeah.
either. They were, you know.
Well, now you have a return to these storefronts, but it's odd. It's the hybrid of the direct to consumer online store that you go to touch and feel the product to then
and
make
then you
the
order
then
it?
You make the order online.
But Michael, do you remember? And Clint, we had the mayor of Gaithersburg on Chatter on Books. Because he runs the Gaithersburg Book Festival, and the first thing we said is, "What's happening in Gaithersburg?" And he was like, "I got this big mall. We got to figure out what to do with it because they have these huge spaces, and they turn into awful Halloween pop-up stores, and then that's it."
Oh gosh,
yeah,
the theme stores,
Halloween
all right.
Spirit. Those kinds of stores that they email me all the time.
They should make them retirement homes.
Just walking the food court,
yeah.
Well, looking for a pretzel.
We could do our workout in the morning and then go get some food.
That's a really good idea.
Have a little bedroom.
I mean, for people like us that
mattress store.
Saw malls coming and looked with wonder at malls, now that malls
it's
disappeared,
so
I'd live in a mall. Of course I would live in a mall.
Yeah, and there's lots of parking.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more parking, yeah. Except for the 3 weeks around Christmas.
All right, what else?
You want to get a little bit of NBA news?
A little bit.
Okay, we'll just start with this. Giannis beats Zion. Giannis scores 34 and leads the Bucks over the Pelicans.
Zion got 20.
Got 20. Wasn't very good from the three.
No.
But this is...
two likable players they both are.
They are.
They really are.
Giannis' fourth straight game with 30 points,
he's
50 rebounds, and 5 assists.
He's a great player. And then Wilbon, who wants to tout Damian Lillard, who is not appointment viewing on any level. Nobody cares about Damian Lillard. Doesn't matter. He scored 48 points a game for the last 6 games. He ended up last night 8 of 23 and 21 points. He's just another... He's a very, very good player who we've seen before. We've not actually seen anyone like Zion Williamson before.
Yeah,
and it's possible we've not seen anyone like Antetokounmpo before. That's possible. So, what else?
Can I give you one more story?
One more story.
So this comes to us from our very own Chris Saliz. It's not like he was busy with anything in the news yesterday. So I get an email that just goes, Florida man, and I'll take you down to the Florida Panhandle. I think it's Santa Rosa County.
That's all the way in West Florida.
Florida Highway Patrol arrested 2 men suspected of drug trafficking after troops pulled them over. For just a speeding violation. Why they suspect him of drug trafficking? I don't know. Maybe because they had a bag labeled bag full of drugs. Well, they weren't lying. The bag was indeed full of drugs, and they posted on their social account, if you are trafficking drugs, do not label it bag full of drugs.
And also, they were driving 95 miles an hour, which might be, you know, a bad mistake.
Stay
if
in
you're
your lane.
There
that,
are
yeah.
there are in this country a tremendous amount of rules which are aimed to protect individual rights and liberties, which are in the main very, very good. And one of those is search and seizure. You just can't, you know, if you pull a guy over for X, you just can't go Y and Z and do that. But if you got a bag that's visible, that's labeled bag full of drugs, I think the police can say, could I take a look at that for a second?
I think they wanted to get caught. It was a cry for help. Yeah. They wanted to get out of the business.
Yeah. All right, we will get out of here. Old Guy Radio, when we return, we will talk about the events of last night in both Iowa and Washington, D.C., and maybe I'll tell a hotel story from Florida. I'm not sure. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Barrett Strong. This is called Money. Probably became more famous when the Beatles did it. I think Ringo covered it at one point. Look, I'm not going to make the case that this is the greatest song of all time, and now I will make that case in this regard. This is a rock and roll song.
Yes, it is.
All right, there is a station on Sirius XM called Road Trip Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You could play this 24 hours a day, and people would be very happy. This is a car song. This is a rock and roll song. Why are we playing it?
Barrett Strong, 79 today.
79 years old. Still with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good for him. It's just, it's, but your loving don't pay my bills. Right? This is like, it's a top 50.
If you don't move when you hear
no,
this,
great song.
You're crazy.
It's an absolutely great song. There is this station, Road Trip Radio, and every once in a while, everything's fast. You know, while I was driving here today in the morning and I clicked onto it, they were playing. And then the song I'm going to talk about is a terrible, terrible song. But when you're driving in a car, it is not a terrible, terrible song. The Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible song.
It's terrible. But in the car, it wakes you up. It makes you happy for the 30 seconds until you say to yourself, I hate this song and I'm out.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's just amazing. All right, so let me get to last night. In fact, politics of the last 36 hours and the sort of incredible embarrassment for the Democratic Party that they spend all this time talking about Iowa, 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 and then they get no results because an app designed by some millennial doesn't work and nobody knows what to do. And then they give you, and this is the worst thing they did, and it's the headline of the Washington Post, and the headline is without comment, but it says, top right, partial results from Iowa show Buttigieg in lead. They're partial results. It's a third quarter score. It's so unbelievably embarrassing. It does not help Buttigieg particularly. Bernie Sanders, who if he had lost legitimately, it might hurt him. He can say, well, it's still partial. It doesn't even hurt Joe Biden, who doesn't even show up. It doesn't even hurt him. It helps two people in the main, Donald Trump and Mike Bloomberg. It helps them. It really helps Bloomberg on the Democratic side. And it helps Donald Trump. And so I said yesterday, if I was Donald Trump, I'd make a 5-minute speech, which how long did he go?
That would be 85 more minutes than 5 minutes.
So he went 90 minutes. 90 minutes. I watched none of it. Absolutely none of it. But this morning, I got everything I needed, which was Nancy Pelosi extending her hand and Trump giving her nothing. And then Nancy Pelosi at the end of the speech, perfectly made up. She looked great.
Yes,
come on.
She did.
Ripping up the speech. This is where we are. This is where we are in America. It's bad. And this
bus is leaving for Canada tomorrow.
This is the thing that I said all along about impeachment, that regardless of what side you're on, it's not good for America.
No.
And then he's going to win. Of course he's going to win. And then you get, now I think he could win again. Right?
My blood's running cold.
I think he could win again.
I will say the one positive from the last 36 hours.
Oh, Carville's on TV.
I believe there has been a stake put into the heart of the Iowa caucus.
Get out of here, Iowa.
Of caucuses in general.
Caucuses are so stupid.
Seventh grade slumber parties. Hey, come on over. I'm with the cool girls. Come on over and sit with me.
They get bullied if you don't.
Yeah.
But I think Michael was saying this yesterday, that the five of us could have walked to Iowa by now, hand counted all the results, and come up with the answer. Did you guys see what Stephen Colbert said?
No.
Would somebody please turn Iowa off and try turning it back on again?
There's no point. Look, the University of Iowa has always had a great writing school. A great writing school. And I like sports in Iowa. I like it. I'm the kid, the Garza kid, who you taught, plays at Iowa. I got nothing against the state of Iowa. I've driven through
my brother-in-law's from Iowa.
It's okay. But this thing... Just okay. Yeah, look who's been reinstated. Well, not officially. Yeah, it's Dennis now, Soleri. I don't know. It's not important enough. We make it more important. Neither is New Hampshire. These states don't represent the country in any way. They just don't.
And we like Iowa. We like lots of people in Iowa and from Iowa.
Yeah.
The people who have run this
caucus.
Ann
Hornaday is from Iowa.
Yes.
The people
My
who
friend
run
Tom
this
Howard.
Caucus process for years do not represent all of Iowa. They don't. And it certainly doesn't represent the rest of the country.
I want there
partial results 24 hours later.
I want there to be just one day that's primary day. And then there's total free-for-all in every state. Everybody goes.
You're the politician person here.
Yes, sir.
Do you agree
Recovering.
With, do you agree with the notion that the people help the most are Trump and Bloomberg?
Yes. I also think Buttigieg got a big boost out of this. Right, because
he's
going.
Win? Do you know what his net worth is? It's like $100,000.
God bless him.
That's all it is.
That's a lot to a lot of people in this country.
How can you keep running on that?
Well, because you raise money. No, I think he gets a nice boost out of it. Not as big as if they actually had 100% of the results within a couple of hours. But I think he gets a nice bump out of this. But the Iowa caucus, not Iowa. Iowa caucuses were made for him.
Why?
Because
he's personable,
very, very personable, very white.
Yeah,
and it worked. And the people I want to separate Iowa from the people who participate in this caucus, because I know lots of people from Iowa who have lived there for years and vote every. They don't go to do this crazy thing, Jeannie's sixth grade girl thing. But I just think this is probably as good as it's going to be for him.
Buttigieg. Really,
yeah, Buttigieg.
Yeah. So I think the story was that Bloomberg was asked, do you think it's good that two billionaires would run against each other? And I think his answer was something like, who's the other one?
Yes, it was.
Which is what a shot at Trump.
Delivered so well.
It was like Nancy Pelosi just ripping it up.
Okay, speaking of delivery, didn't it look as though she had practiced that? I mean, the gesture was just perfect.
It was.
Sometimes if you try to rip too many pages at once, you can't, and it gets stuck.
So what happens is you have a State of the Union message, which is usually some parts of it are important, and you have this first semi-primary, these caucuses, and they are utterly overshadowed by a gesture by Nancy Pelosi that, nobody cares anything that he said because of that gesture, and the fact that they have no results in Iowa, and people spent money and time, and I think there's nothing that comes out of it that's, that moves the needle on any level. I think in the last 48 hours we've seen that's why I watched John Wick 3, which I didn't understand. I came in the middle of it, and then I left sort of towards the end. I had no inkling of what it was about. I'll tell one story. This is it. Who wants to hear? It's either the how much it costs to be. Yeah, I'll tell the how much it costs to be picked up story.
I want the hotel story.
Are you here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Be good, and you'll get the hotel story.
Thank you, Uncle Tony.
Okay. So on Saturday, the day before the Super Bowl and the day before I'm going to leave and go home, I want to play golf. And I have the opportunity to go play golf with the socialite at Emerald Dunes. Emerald Dunes is off Okeechobee. It's on the corner of Okeechobee Road, which is a crossroad or an east-west road, and the Florida Turnpike. So it's about, from where Alan lives, about 25 minutes or something like that, due west. But for where I am in Miami Beach, it's about 70 miles. And even in Florida, where people drive 400 miles an hour in the right lane and then cut you off going to your left, going to their left, stuff like that. You got to get out of Miami Beach. You've got to get on 95. You don't know what's going to happen. It's going to take a while. You have to budget time for 70 miles, 75 miles. at least an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's going to be at least an hour and a half. So I say to Tina Pagano, who helps me a lot at travel circumstances with ESPN, I say, Tina, I'd like to get a car service to take me from Miami Beach to Palm Beach to return, stopping in Boca Raton to pick up Carol, who has spent the week, you know, with either Nancy or Carol's sister, you know, for the week, which, because there was nothing for her to do in Miami. There really wasn't. It was foolish to go to Miami Beach. Well, Miami Beach is, I think I said this before, it's four blocks wide. It's overpopulated with drunken, naked people. That's all it is. So, so I say, okay, so we're going to talk about, take me up there, please, and then take me back through Boca. But that's it's like right on the way. You're just on the turnpike. It's not a hard thing. You know, it's really not hard at all. I'm going to stop at Boca Rio Golf Club, pick up Carol, and go home. 150 miles, maybe. How much? Let's go around the room. How much do you think? And don't talk to me about Ubers now, because it's a car service. Car services are more expensive than Ubers. For that trip on that Saturday, in the daylight hours, Gene, what would you think would be a lot of money for that car service?
A lot of, well, I would think it would cost about $1,500.
$1,500 is an enormous amount of money to go 150 miles.
Yeah.
$1,500 is way over anything I ever imagined.
I was going to say $1,000.
$1,000. Michael?
I was going to say $800 originally, but then I wonder what is just hiring the car going to cost in addition to the mileage and then the wait time, because it takes 4.5 hours to play golf.
Yes, of
and
course.
And then if you have lunch after, a drink.
But if you're a driver, you can do other things. I don't have you exclusively. I just have you when I need you. I don't have you exclusively. So, and that's fair.
Right, but if you're still 175 miles away from your normal
base.
Yeah,
you're not getting too many other gigs.
Right. Claude?
As someone with no experience in needing a driver to pick up, like, out 750 would seem to be what
I thought. $500 would be a lot of money. I thought $500, and I was totally willing to pay $500. I thought it'd be a lot of money. I called Tina, and I said, this is what I want. And she calls me back, and she says, it's Super Bowl weekend, so prices are a little bit higher. Okay, prices are a little bit higher. Then in my mind, I said, $1,000. Can't be more than $1,000. Gene, I never would have said $1,500. But you underbid substantially. $2,800.
Holy moly.
This is out of my pocket.
Did that include gas?
That included enough gas to go to the moon.
Were there little bottles of water in the car, I hope?
$2,800. Now, again, this is coming out of my pocket. Nobody has to throw a benefit for me. I've done very, very well. But I can't get myself to give $2,800 for one day to go 150 miles. I can't. I cannot, as they say, wrap my arms around that. And I say, I'm not doing that. And I even say something like, if I made $10 million a year, I would not do this.
I agree.
So I went to a bunch of people who, you know, who were there around. And I said, I need a driver. Can we? I was in a car that day, being driven that day on Friday to the set. I told the driver, I said, do you do any freelance work? And he said, I don't, but I have a friend. I have a friend who'll do it. He'll do it for free because he loves your show. I said, don't do it for free. Anyway, that guy got back, and that guy wanted $950. So that was not free, $950. And what eventually happened was somebody said they would do it for $700, and I was unbelievably grateful. Even though, again, I thought that was originally
a lot.
Far more than it would cost. And his name was Marlon. He was a great driver. He was a truck driver for a living. He was everything I could have asked for. Very, very grateful for this. But $2,800. And again, ESPN should not pay for any of that. This is me. I'm doing this on my own. I get that.
I know that stretch of highway.
Yeah.
I think I would have paid it.
Really?
I hate that stretch of highway.
Well, I wasn't.
I hate it.
So
I'd rather ride a bike. That's awful. $2,800.
Well, I wanted to play, and the alternative was I had to say to Carol, "Get down here on your own."
That would never happen. She'd still be in Boca.
Right.
But you could have taken a cab 20 minutes outside of Miami Beach and then been picked up there, where you might not have had the Super Bowl surcharge.
Here's what I thought was a reasonable thing to do, and I'll tell you why I didn't want to do it. Take a cab to the airport in Miami and rent a car. And I could have rented a car for $200. And that's a lot for one day in a car. I could have rented a big car for $200. The reason I didn't want to do that, I didn't want to drop that. I didn't want to have to go drop that off at the end. I didn't want the headache of dropping the car off. And I could not. I asked around, could I drop it off at any of the hotels? No.
Okay. And that stretch of 95, you remember when we were in that fender bender? You don't want to be driving down there.
No. Okay. No, I'm not exaggerating when I say people that who are not on the road, they're on the gravel on the right going 80 and cut you off.
I know. And intermixed with that are the geriatrics who are going 20 miles an hour in the left lane.
But next time, see, you have to reach out. When something like this happens, you got to reach out to the immediate family here. Because think, if you could get more comfortable using your celebrity... using your celebrity to make people happy and make money. We could have gotten on Twitter and in 15 minutes started
that's,
bidding
you know
war.
That's probably
who will pay to drive Mr.
True.
Tony from here to there?
I was just when I heard...
And then he'll come to your house and cook a chicken.
Yeah.
$2,800.
That's a lot of money.
Unbelievable amount. I'm going 150 miles. It's a day. It's most of the day out of your life. You get $2,800? Wow.
Yeah.
Right? This is just stunning. I probably shouldn't tell these stories on the air, but it's my money. You know.
Well, you didn't pay it.
I didn't. No, and I was very grateful not to, but it stuns you into realizing what you're going to have to do where you even think it's a good deal. Like I, you know.
And by the way, things
and
like
I had to do it cuz Carol, you're right. She'd still be there. You know, she'd say, I get an Uber. You know, doesn't Uber have that thing called surge pricing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be that much.
How do you know?
The whole point of Uber is it's not that much.
I don't know. I went to Clemson, Florida State, and right after the game, to Uber back to the hotel was like $200.
Yeah.
It normally would have been
$35.
That's
what happens around big games, big weekends.
To get to the airport on Sunday morning at 6 in the morning, nobody's on the road, to hire a car to do that, in our case, it's maybe 20 minutes, $400.
Yeah.
Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
But hiring of the car is the majority of that cost.
This is price gouging.
Yeah.
This is, you don't expect this from a big city. This is something they do in Louisville the day of the Kentucky Derby.
No, you totally expect this of big cities around big weekends.
Do you think
like
that would happen in New York?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Do you remember when the NBA All-Star game was here? How many years ago?
We had to walk.
It was so expensive.
It was total gridlock.
Have I told my NBA All-Star weekend Bentley story?
No.
Several years ago, took young Charlie up for, it was in New York, All-Star Weekend. I don't remember what hotel we stayed in. But a lot of hotels often have fancy cars that they'll let guests use on an available basis to, you know, go 10 blocks down the road, wherever. And whatever hotel this was had a Bentley. And because All-Star Weekend, everybody in town, think about the kind of people who show up for All-Star Weekend, they all have their own Bentleys and their own Rolls Royces. So the Bentley was always available. And Charlie and I spent the entire weekend driving around in the Bentley.
I've never been in
a
Bentley.
And the driver had nothing else to do. So he would take us everywhere because it was supposed to be a 10 block maximum or something like that. But he had nothing else to do. So we cruised around for 3 days in
a
Bentley.
What is it like to ride in a Bentley?
Lovely. It was very big. I remember it being very big, and the leather smelled really nice.
Wow.
And they had really nice glass bottles of water in the back, which Charlie was very impressed with that. It was nice.
My ride, we didn't have any.
No mints?
No. Oh. But I was really grateful. I was grateful to.
Did you get to control the music?
I talked the whole way. I just nonstop talking. Yes. We'll get out of here. Email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Is that, that's Chris Ullman?
Yes.
From Binghamton, New York?
Yep.
Yeah, the world champion whistler. Thank you very much for that. All right, we're about done. Before we go, let me thank ESPN's Tim Bontemps, Timmy Goodtimes, for coming on today. Let's also thank the sponsors, Calm.com, and a new one, Vincero Watches. Well, I hope it's not Vincero. Thank you. Don't forget, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get this show through iTunes, please leave a review. Here is from Shad. This is a haiku for tax assistance. You need a new name? I have been there and done that. Better call Dennis. 1-800-RIP-PHIL. Phil's legally dead. From Andrew Bracewell, Vancouver, British Columbia. How great would it have been if Emmanuel Acho sat down and played I Have a Piano by the brilliant Tony Beeson? That would have been great. Joe Farrell. Oh, so good to hear from him. We tried to send you a Christmas card, and late last week it came back undeliverable. I guess there was no sense of urgency on the part of USPS. US Mail was actually my second attempt to send you the card. For the first attempt, I held the card over my head and repeatedly said representative. And I see the card here. It's from the entire Farrell family, which is very nice. I don't understand why it's undeliverable.
I think he sent it to Chatters.
Oh, okay. Dan Schuett in Durant, Iowa. The best Super Bowl commercial in our house was the 5G commercial. My kids were laughing at how much the mom reminded them of their grandma, my mother. We all turned back to the game. A few minutes later, my 10-year-old son FaceTimes his sister from the other room. We're all questioning what he's up to when she answers, and he goes in a sing-song voice, "It works in the bedroom," and we all died laughing. That was, I liked that commercial. That was Anthony Anderson, right? I liked that commercial. From Leo in Ohio, in your discussion of Super Bowl commercials, I was thoroughly disappointed that you left the Reese's Take 5 commercial off your list. In the commercial, a woman is eating the candy bar, and her coworkers begin to ask her what she's eating. After her response, they tell her they've never heard of it, to which she responds with popular idioms about how they are clueless or oblivious, and then they are portrayed as literal embodiments of those idioms. For example, one coworker said he's never heard of it, and she asks if he's been living under a rock. The camera then zooms out, and he is, in fact, living under a rock. They do the same for Born Yesterday and From Another Planet and a few more. The true genius of the commercial doesn't come until the very end, when the final idiom is not spoken, but implied as the last coworker to comment walks over to her with his head firmly planted up his rear. Truly a great moment and a must watch. From Sean Millville in Odenton, Maryland. Yesterday, while discussing Saturday Night Fever, David referenced the Saturday Night Live skit, Samurai Night Fever. Being around the same age as Michael, I'd also never seen the sketch, so I fired up the old Google machine to look it up. Michael asked David if he could still do the sketch today. What David fails to remember is that the samurai's character, older brother in the sketch, who has come home for a visit after becoming Catholic priest, is played by O.J. Simpson. Oh. O.J.'s character then tells the samurai that he doesn't want to be black anymore. In this case, the joke being that style and culture from the characters from Saturday Night Fever were more cool at this point in time. It's wild. Here is a link to it. And as the kids are saying these days, this one is a bit more problematic after a second look. But you can find it. Mike from Burke, Virginia. You are correct. That's Curtis Armstrong at the door delivering the pizza. Mr. Armstrong has been in many films besides Risky Business, notably Revenge of the Nerds as Booger. Yes, and that is the guy that I looked up and I went, wow, that's the guy from Risky Business. Terry Tahara in Bremen, Indiana, longtime little first-time emailer. I may be late with the news, but I wanted to make sure you were aware that SiriusXM has a Hallmark channel, Channel 70. As I was informed by the person to whom I'm not yet related by marriage, the DJ is an actress from many movies on the Hallmark TV channel. I wonder if Michael's mother knows, obviously a station you want to listen to on your drives to the shore when caught in traffic or looking for a place to park. Thank you for making every day such a treat.
There's still time to get out of that marriage, my friend.
Yeah. Lewis from Toronto. Dear Dr. Hofwoff, I write to you for the first time because it finally happened. As I was driving to a family function this weekend, my car ticked over to 141141. Yeah, wow. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage, however, refused to take a photo of the phenomenon. However, the joke was on her because when we returned home, I had the following odometer reading. What is that? 141565. That's a good one, but not like 141111.
It's an all-timer.
Yeah. Jason from Bixby. Lately at the Starbucks, I've been using the drive-thru, and when I tell the young lady who serves me my drink that she can keep the straw, she looks at me all doe-eyed, and she says, I love that. I don't have the heart to tell her that I don't care about the straws and their effect on the environment, just that I dislike using straws and always have. Anyway, I felt like I should tell someone, and you seem to me to be the right person. From Cameron Thompson, 32. I'm writing to announce the birth of one of the newest littles, a masculine child, Lincoln Thompson, born 0202-2020. At 2:48, every time I look at my car dashboard, I hope for a good number combination to write in about. It turns out all I had to do was have a baby on a palindrome day. So much easier. After making sure mom and baby were good to go, my first thought was, can't wait to tell Mr. Tony about this. Your podcast is already getting me through late night feeds and diaper changes. Thanks for all the amazing content. And here is a picture of Cameron Thompson with the baby, which is wonderful. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time. God.
I can't see the stars from the inside. Venus, Earth, and Mars waving goodbye.
if you ever lose you a woman and you don't think you're gonna win, better sit down, listen to your mama, get your head together again. When you're singing when you open your window,